Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. Visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links. It's coming soon. The Real Life Sci-Fi Substack. I think it's just another way to extort money from listeners. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. What?
You use the word extort from members. Yes, okie dokie. I didn't realize it was in a crime ring here, but that's okay.
Well,
we do what we gotta do.
I'm not saying we're going to capitalize on it, but hey, it's dog eat dog out there these days. And there's less food. Well, Hilton is back. And here's what I have, Hilton. I have How Dare You Hilton written down here. Do you remember why? I specifically remember you saying, when you introduced me, say, "How dare you, Hilton?" This is months ago, whenever. And it's stayed in my notes ever since. I look at it every week.
How dare you, Hilton?
I've completely forgotten why. How dare you, Hilton? Well, it was your idea. Let's do the WOW scale. The WOW scale stands for Wade or Willie. It's 5 question quiz. At the end of the quiz, I'll give you a scoring where between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. You ready to be Wade on the WOW scale?
Are you a Willie?
Yes, I am.
You've done this a lot. Do you remember what you were in the past?
I think it was a 3.
Okay, we got 2 new questions, so let's see how it turns out this time. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I'm going to say yes, yes, and yes, they've been here. I think they've always been here. I think they probably predated our existence on the planet, if anything.
Okay.
We're so full of shit and egotistical.
Yeah.
It does feel like we are not supposed to be on this planet. The planet is constantly trying to kill us.
It's constantly reminding us, hey, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah.
Recently, there was this First Nations people out of Brazil that had never seen aliens before, and they showed them a picture of it. And like, oh, those are the ant people. They come from underground. It's like, wow, crazy. Right. Like they recognized them. They're like, yeah, when we see them, we stay away from them.
Like with so many undiscovered species on the planet, how would we even fucking know? I mean, we've been on this planet for so long, but there's so little that we've actually touched. That we actually understand the greatest depths of the ocean. We just had these Titanic people, you know, last year from going to that depth. But the idea that no one has ever gone that deep into the ocean. Ooh.
Question number 2, ghosts.
I think the term ghost is a label meant to represent something else for different people. I think some people find comfort in thinking that they're being visited by someone from the past.
Yeah.
But I have talked to the consciousness of my dead brother and I've received advice as if he was here. And I'm not saying like it was a voice and I could hear it loud.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah. Right.
I believe that maybe we're tethered to each other. So we're always in contact with even our ancestors. We're on a higher vibration, and the higher vibration we find ourselves on, maybe we are able to tap into a higher level of existence. Like the ancestral plane is so far away because we have not tried to actually reach back to it.
Yeah.
What happens if you start reaching back to it instead of trying to reach forward for something that we don't know what's coming? Like when you know that you're going to find love, you just have this feeling and oh my God, I think I'm open to it. So it's going to come to me. There's no evidentiary proof of that shit. There is evidentiary proof of your ancestral past.
The information could be still in you, the energy.
Absolutely. And,
things about these chickens that had never seen a hawk before. They went generations without seeing a hawk. And they would fly shapes over them to see if they recognized anything, were afraid of anything, triangles, squares, whatever. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And then 3 or 4 generations removed from a hawk, they threw a hawk in there and all those little baby chicks started squawking like danger, danger, danger. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That information was still in them.
It's there. Whether we call that a spiritual connection or it's this thing where we are all vibrating in the same space. You know, it's like we touch Mother Earth with our bare feet and we feel the energy from the earth separate from our family members. It's the thing that is a hug. I think that's more of a spiritual connection, a spiritual bond. And when we miss that because that person is gone, we only can identify it as being a ghost. Maybe that's what it is. Like a ghost is what? Transparent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can kind of see through the ghost. They don't have the masks. And that's kind of like, how would you hug someone who's gone? You can still see them, but you can't actually, there isn't the physical matter to stop that, to stop, like, here's a hand. This stops my finger from going through.
Right.
But if this is just a shadow or a ghost of that, it's going to go through. So at any rate, so I don't know if that
sounds like a yes. I would say yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's like,
do you believe what you were talking about?
Yeah.
You we'll do say yes. Believe what you were talking. What say you, Wade?
If we're talking literally ghosts, I don't believe in them. I've never seen a ghost or been spooked by like any kind of stuff like falling or whatever. I tend to believe in the afterlife these days just because I think it's more fun than not.
More hopeful.
Yeah.
Gives some type of meaning to actually being here.
And it's also like, if you don't know, why not believe, you know?
Yeah. Like, what is it? What do you lose by saying yes? But one could apply that to faith. Religion, but what do you think about an ant, a colony of ants? Does that same rule not apply to the colony of ants or the one ant that leads that's in your home and you catch that motherfucker walking back with some sugar back to his, you know, colony?
How does the ant connect to the ghost thing?
Like, I mean, an ant has consciousness. They display the ability to work together as a community more so than us. We're the only ones that destroy everything on the planet.
Yeah.
We are the only species that destroys more than we need to. And in our consciousness, and what we consider consciousness, we don't find the need to just have a more balanced approach towards utilizing the resources here. An ant doesn't take a fucking whole sugar cube and hoard it over there in the corner because there's a new virus out. The ant is just doing that one thing, bringing that little piece back to the colony for the mother, for the rest of the colony to be able to be sustained.
All right. Question number three, Bigfoot.
No, I'm going to say no to Bigfoot. Why is he hiding out? Who's going to fuck him up?
We are.
But he doesn't know that we're going to kill him.
If Bigfoot's been around for long enough, it's seen deforestation and stuff like that. So it's probably like, I don't know what they're doing, but they're like cutting down my house.
And most cabins have got trophy heads in them.
We know that Bigfoot is a burglar and he goes into ski lodges all the time. And then he sees the deer heads and stuff.
Loves hot chocolate, hates humans.
Hates humans. It's just like any other animal in his situation, a black bear is not going to run away when threatened, when popped up on by you.
Yeah.
It's going to fuck you up.
Unless Bigfoot is smart, you know, and he just doesn't want to fight, you know, he's just like, I don't know.
Bigfoot's just a fucking dirty hippie. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
He's just a dirty hippie up in the mountains, yes. Like, nah, bro. His camouflage is he's like hugging a tree.
Yeah.
And he just fucking holds on and stays real still. And he's like,
in the same way that the chickens remember the hawk, maybe these things remember humans from another time when they were after him. Because I think that when there were multiple hominid races, I feel like we probably wiped out the other ones, is my assumption.
But now, would you not think that that's the we as we see ourselves now? Like at that same time where we would have had that interaction with them that far in the past, we didn't have the technology that we have now. And that's another thing. Like there aren't hieroglyphics that show Bigfoot in anywhere other than the U.S.
No. I mean, the Chinese have the Yeren. It's like a red-haired Bigfoot. I feel like the Yeti has been around for a long time. The
three. And I'm
the
not
Australians
saying,
have the Yowie.
Four. And it's interesting because it's one for each culture. So it's kind of like everyone has their own version of it. very similar to, and you know, you don't know this, Will knows that I used to be a minister. The same way that all over the world, everyone has the same birth of Christ.
Jesus. Yeah, the different versions of the different Immaculate versions of Conception.
But I mean, this predates Christianity. This, yeah. I mean, this goes way back thousands of years. There were versions of that.
And the flood, too.
And the flood, because shit like this, which helps people, or at least it connects us to this thing that has existed where every single race, every culture throughout the history of time has always tried to reach out to a greater power that created them. Every single, in Hindu culture, Asian culture, America has its, Europe has its, European, African, all over the world, there is a version of Jesus. And it's funny because they all have the same tenets. Like, it's the same story, just translated a little differently. Jesus died and he rose 3 days later. There is an Easter, that he is the Son of God, and there is a Trinity. They all have the same thing in common.
Oh, really? It's like that. It's that specific?
Yes. Every fucking body isn't fucking right. I don't understand how each is so stuck on this is what it is. Mine is the version that counts.
Right.
Yeah. I like mine it when compared to the stars of the winter months, you know, like
winter solstice. The idea that, you know, that like the pagan, you know what, I don't want to offend anybody about their religious beliefs or whatnot, but
oh, we do it a lot. I was a little horrified when I learned you were a pastor because we've said stuff. We bash on religion almost constantly.
No, I think that that's what's supposed to happen. I think that religion is supposed to be proven to you. Provable methods. Don't give me some fucking story that you don't know about. You're telling me you're rinsing and repeating the same thing that was told to you, that was given to you, that was embraced by you or embraced by a person. If you grow up with abusive parents that go to church, you make this connection between church religion and what those rules are, and then the juxtaposition of what happens at home.
Yeah.
And they're different. And if you are really this, and there are rules to doing this, shouldn't these two be exactly the same?
Yeah.
Or are you full of shit and it's convenient for you to use when you want to use it as a tool of manipulation,
totally,
as a tool of power, as in ancient Mesopotamia, when people are building the pyramids, the Egyptians told you that you are going to be a slave forever after your death if you don't serve me here on the planet. And God does not burn that motherfucker at the stake and say, no, that's not what I'm, that's not why I created you guys. That's not what's supposed to be happening.
No,
and
let them figure it out.
I have these. Yeah, this is just an experiment where we're just going to say, hey, we're going to see who will follow blindly. And I'm not saying that that's what everyone does. It's just an interesting question to ask of like, I don't understand how that makes sense. Religion should have a place. It should be like math. 2 + 2 = 4, because there's two here and then there's two here. And if you can count 1, 2, 3, 4. If we subscribe to one is an actual thing versus one not actually existing, a whole other separate mind fuck. You know why criminals are so great at crime after coming out of prison? It's like a finishing school because they have nothing but time, and they're in an environment with criminals who have nothing but time and stories and ways to tell you about what failed, how it got them there. That's the same thing I think with religion, is that religion is kind of like that. You have a captive audience. On this planet, we've had a lot of time to figure things out. And where are we now? Still acting like this is Egypt, like the rich, the wealthy are telling us to build pyramids every day. And what is, like a Donald Trump, that fucking piece of human shit, what does he do? He will toss out the Bible.
Yeah.
And there are people who will actually go along with him because of that. And you will say that this guy is a Christian, that he's a real lover of God, And again, back to this thing. Well, there are rules to that. And why it doesn't jive. Let's make it make sense to the people. That's why we're so fucked up. Because we want to have pie in the sky.
But then also, your beliefs can make you think that people are manipulating things to try to get you to believe the other way. And I'm like, oh.
Right? Like, what the fuck? Maybe you're supposed to think for yourself. Maybe we're supposed to have a relationship without a third party involved with that, telling us how to do this. That's okay. Like the equivalent of that would be like ghost. Like if my brother's ghost is coming to visit me, is he going to go to a conduit and then they're going to come talk to me
right
on his behalf, like a medium? Like we're still on ghost now, or are we on Bigfoot?
This is Bigfoot.
So if Bigfoot were a ghost, no. There's a way to segue that every time.
Fourth question. Illuminati.
No. I think that the Illuminati is just another elitist fucking club. It's like Philippe Petit, a watch manufacturer. Makes very expensive watches. Only a certain amount of people understand, because only a certain number of those watches are made.
Right.
And they are valuable because they're not available to everyone.
How about multi-dimension? Do you believe that there's multiverses out there?
I would say there are multiverses in there. The multiverses are the chambers of our mind. You know how we can have like dreams and that's totally separate from what we think during the day? We have a logical mind. We have a spiritual mind. We have an ethereal mind. We have who's to say that the ghost that visit us in our dreams, that's just not another chamber? If we actually focused on fixing everything about our condition, I believe that a higher plane of thought is there for us. We can actually focus on the peace that lives within us. I did an experiment with my dog. If I get up and I leave the room, she'll get up and she'll follow me. But in my bedroom, I will turn on like healing frequency sounds. And I'll turn them up loud enough where that she's hearing that while she's sleeping. She doesn't get up. She won't get up and follow me out of the room. When she wakes up, she is more refreshed. She really is. I believe in that. I believe in higher frequencies.
Right.
And I think they would get us a lot further.
I agree with you. And it's depressing.
Which is why we try to escape, which is why people want to escape, which is what makes us susceptible to it. Imagine, you guys, at some point, some fucking snake wrangler was able to convince people that this is a relationship with your God. The serpent in the Garden of Eden, representing evil, is a part of the religious cult, that I'm going to call it, that you're going to participate in.
Yeah.
What? I mean, it doesn't even fucking make sense. Why are you listening? Why are you so susceptible to anyone telling you that? Telling you anything about some shit that they don't fucking control. You ain't God. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. No, I agree.
God doesn't need to speak to me through you. I don't think you are here in God's eyes, and I'm here, and I need you to help to translate that depth. Nah, man, what the fuck is that about?
Did you stop becoming a what did you say, a pastor or a preacher? What did you say?
I was a youth pastor at a youth church that we had down the street from our main church, and a minister at the church.
Did you lose faith because of the followers, or do you still have faith and you're just not, you're not in
I definitely still have faith. And we're talking about, so when I'm a kid and you accept the calling at 12 years old or 11 years old or whatever, because you have influences around you that are saying, oh my God, there's something good. And the Lord is going to use you. God's got a special plan for you. God's got something on mind for you when you are. And you start believing some of this stuff. And I'm not saying that it's not right. It could be correct. They may just see a light in you, but they are ascribing a particular set of beliefs that are all them. At the same time, for them, it confirms that they have a connection to God, that God is using me as a tuning fork of some sort. I can identify that young man or that young woman. Shoot forward after the fact. You have women in the church that want to fuck you because there's this perception of power. So now, you know, hey, as you age and you get a little bit older and stuff starts to come to you, you're like, damn, there's some big ass titties. Damn, she is kind of fine. Maybe God don't mind if I take a little bit just for myself. That's a lot of power to have. Yeah. That's a lot of people to let down. It's a huge, not a burden, but juxtapose that against, let's say, a rough childhood. And that example that that thing I mentioned to you guys was that, you know, you have a corrupt version of what religion is supposed to be told to you. When you get older and you start studying more and you get outside of that environment and you start to see things for what they are, the light bulbs come on in the room and you start to understand that there is a, like, religion, your relationship with the higher power has, it should not be dictated nor told to you by someone else.
Yeah.
By their means,
that's,
by their
spirit. I mean, and that's our whole thing is like, we don't mind what anyone believes. We just don't like the organization of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like for me,
they've been corrupt for so long that they're very good at what they do.
The organizations are rife with holes that can be exploited by people who can seem like they're great. Think about mega churches. Totally. Do you really think that God is cool with you having a Rolls Royce, a $20 million jet? The people in your congregation could probably benefit a lot better. You don't need that shit. Especially when you're talking about your poster child, Jesus, was a carpenter.
Right.
Who didn't have flashy things.
That's why it makes me mad, because it makes me lose respect for anyone who would follow those people. I just don't understand. They seem stupid to me. I don't know if they're brainwashed or what, but we got to get into the food stuff. Yeah, so even with the new questions, you're still a 3. Willie, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, the future of food. It promises innovative solutions to address global challenges like population growth and climate change. From lab-grown meat to vertical farming, technology will likely play a pivotal role in revolutionizing how we produce and consume food sustainably. Will we have bland porridge from The Matrix? Or anything you want from Star Trek's food replicators? Will we always have just good old big corporation grocery food? Or will we go back to growing our own food? What is the future of food tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi? Right now, the way that things are set up for us, there is not a consistent nutrition, consistent diet. What they're teaching right now, I think, is slowly evolving. You know, you picture vitamins, bad science. You picture gut bacteria, which is, you know, fairly new. Fasting as a healer, that's a really new thing. But science just keeps pushing forward with how we're doing food and what we consider to be food, all these additives and preservatives and stuff. And so really, like, whatever the future of food is, I feel like we will need to cancel out a lot of the shit that we're doing now and figure out what we need.
I agree with you. I think I think the future of food is the past. I think we are trying to, it's the same thing like with faith and all the other shit where we're trying to fill our minds with this busy stuff. There are some simple things that have worked throughout our entire evolutionary cycle that didn't involve mass farming, that didn't involve quinoa souffles, that didn't involve the latest trendy thing. And it's just, I think it's shameful because it seems like whatever we can monetize, that's what's going to become the new thing. And anything to do with health.
That's the theme for this episode. Basically, all we've talked about so far is humans being corrupt and corrupting everything that we come into contact with. But we are at this point, right? We're at this factory farm kind of point. There's food deserts, which is like, I feel like a new thing, at least in like the last, I don't know, 30 years or something. I didn't hear about a lot of food deserts before. Anyway, what's the future? Knowing that we're here, it would be great if we could go back to people just growing their own stuff.
I mean, I think people are doing that. People are rebelling now and saying, screw that. I'm not going to go to these stores anymore. I'm not going to buy anything that has plastic.
You know what they're saying now to combat that? Because there is a big movement of this. They're saying now that it's actually less green for you to have your own farm for various reasons.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. Have your own little farm. Like,
yeah. Like don't let them tell you that bullshit.
Because of water or what? I know you said a very, but like, what's the main,
like the sustainability of having your own little farm? Let's say you've got a couple cows. It's just like, and to waste all that. It's basically saying that, these
big, like giant, you're being selfish for taking too much space or something just to support
stuff
yourself.
Stuff like that. It's really like the carbon footprint of a small farm is just so much bigger.
It's fucking hilarious.
But we can't go back. Individually we can try, but it's never gonna happen for me. I'm never gonna have a farm and a couple cows.
Are you sure about that?
Well, if it's Wastelander times, I mean, maybe. But
if we look at like what's happening globally with food production, there is less space. There's less fertility in the land from the damage being done by corporate farming. You know, we're way past the point where I think it's in our control. If we think about like irrigation systems.
Yeah.
Do you think, though, that the only way forward is through, which means, all right, we fucked up. First of all, the people in power would have to admit that, which they never will. But let's say they do. And now how do you... Meats, like growing meats in labs and stuff. Like, what do you think? What do you think? Like, what's the way out?
What I think, I don't think there is a way out. I think that we will be forced to revert because we are not rebelling and forcing them to change the way that they do business.
And we're learning like
the
a lot
systems,
of things.
The system's going to fail. We see it failing already when we look at how much produce is thrown away in these grocery stores. Every day, how this food that is provided in these stores that we can purchase, how that food cannot be provided to homeless people once it's past its shelf life.
And how they're trying to combat that a little bit right now is just more preservatives, you know, like
that's it.
Bill Gates has this appeal stuff that he's putting on apples so that they can last months in a grocery store. And it's just like at some point, all these things that look fresh in a grocery store become less and less nutritious for you. And so I agree with you that yes, it's going to have to fail because there's science right now that is showing how a lot of this stuff is not good for you. Pesticides for one, but they haven't stopped with the pesticides. They haven't stopped with the preservatives.
And even knowing what this does, like understanding that these pesticides put in these chickens, put in GMO food. All of this shit is absorbed into these things and then we eat that and it goes into our body. Some of that shit feeds cancer cells. Some of it blows out your liver, just like if you're taking a medication. Some of the proteins that we're getting are terrible for us, for our body, because they're done with synthetic influences. I think it's inevitable that we will go back. I don't think like what's the answer today? I try to eat as healthy as I can. I try to have non-GMO food. I try to, but where do I find that? I don't go to the same stores that I used to go to.
But don't you think that there will be a corporate course correction once there's famine and starving everywhere and their money starts drying up?
No.
The regime needs to fail.
No, I know, but you guys are really, really focused on what's wrong with it. And I just want to know where we get the food pellets and the future, like the Jetsons, like where do we get the pill that tastes like a turkey and stuff like that?
So yes, we both, corporations suck and they're making plant-based meats and things that act like they're good. AI has a chance to redefine foods that we eat. Oh, this flavor might like new recipes based on how things work together. And also if we can input what we think is nutritious, AI can get feedback to us, individual health diets that we want, because there isn't a blanket diet for everyone, you know, especially with what's available to you. So I think the first step is to get out of this corporate mess is to use AI to have a more individual food plan going forward.
Well, that's great to have a food plan, but then where does it come from? You know, Like, if we're talking about the future of food, what are you showing us?
Sparkling water, black raspberry, naturally essence. That's we already. My point is that we already have a pill. We have these pills in everything. We have these pills in everything.
The flavors.
Like the flavors. Yeah. This shit isn't real. There's no fucking blackberries or raspberry in this motherfucker. There isn't.
Yeah, but there's zero calories.
Right. So, but the nature of corporations is not to feed, to feed healthy. It's to feed their greed, to feed their money. Perfect example of that is here in California, when all of when fast food franchisees or fast food employees have to make, what is it now, 18 or 20 bucks an hour?
I think it's 20.
20.
What do the restaurants do? They turn around and jack up the prices of the food.
They fire half the employees. They've got the fire digital kiosks.
And then what's the next thing? Do they say, well, you know what? We're going to keep on trimming the fat and we're going to still try to bring it to you. Fuck no. They close the doors. Why? Yeah. Because they can't make money on it. And those people don't turn around and give their money back to the masses. Now we're going to destabilize the communities where we had people that were employed. So here, we're going to now pay some sort of reparations to those areas because we've been able to benefit from them for so many generations. It's only right that we share what wealth we have. Fuck no. They don't give a fuck. And no one holds them accountable. The government doesn't hold their feet to the fire. That family stays wealthy. That family has enough real estate to grow a farm, to grow their own shit. And I guarantee you, those McDonald's family members, those Arby's family members, Food for Less, Kroger family members, they're not eating bad food. They're not eating that shit. Kroger, Food for Less, same store owners. And it's actually, I think they own Vons as well. That's the other side of it, is that it's not as if there are a lot of these big producers of this food. There's only like a few organizations that just have different brands underneath.
Well, all right. Well, let me contextualize it a little bit then, because I have a hard time envisioning the city of LA suddenly filled with farms. So if the future is that we all go back to being farmers, like how does that change the landscape? We can't do that here.
Right. Because if you picture like even little community gardens and little community farms they have here, huge wait lists, not much space. Like it's almost like you have to tear up a parking lot to make a community farm. But it might end up.
Say that again though.
Well, sure. I mean, I'm in favor of doing that.
Tear down the infrastructure. Like these parking lots.
6 million people in LA. Right. Okay. I mean, so
here's one idea.
6 million people in LA are commuting every single day, right? They get into cars, they got to go to work, they got to do all this shit to make money.
You're talking about a complete redo of society as we know it.
That's the only thing that works.
Right. So
that's the only thing that'll work.
Here's one idea that I heard that sounds pretty interesting. Like if you tried to grow like vertical farming, right? You can grow up. Mm-hmm. Yep. So they're talking about inside skyscrapers having farms that go straight up. And I know that like in Singapore, they do a good job of it's so hot there. And a lot of their buildings are covered with greenery because it cools down the buildings, some of the newer areas. But, growing crops inside skyscrapers using hydroponics is a possible future farm that. I mean, I don't know who's going to be in charge of it, but
how many vacant buildings do we have across the nation in all of these cities? How many mining towns? How many old infrastructures that were used to make and generate money that could now be used to actually hydroponically grow good food?
Yeah.
Fuck it. Since we don't want to house the homeless in them, since we don't want to use it for that.
The answer would be you do it. If that's the future, start a new industry, you know?
What governmental hurdles does the average person have to jump to be able to do that? Everything points back to the rule makers. Like the idea, like, I have to
get enough money, right? Like you see, if you get enough money to buy maybe one senator, right? You get him, then maybe you get enough money to buy a lobbyist. I don't know. You erode it from the inside at some point. I'm not a proponent of this. I just can't think of any other ideas.
I got a better way to do it. We just feed their kids their fucking foods.
Ah, that's fun. You know, they're making 3D printed meat. Have you heard of this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Use meat and of course meat glue and lab grown meat.
It's like, why don't you motherfuckers just stop?
This is them trying to take what they have and just make more money off of it, you know. And most of it is like, at any rate, like a lot of these companies are using immortalized cells, which the big thing right now, the big fact check is like, these companies are using cancer cells to make the meat. It's like, well, technically they're not cancerous, but they are immortalized cells. They are cells that need to repeat and double because normal meat cells don't replicate on their own. So if you're going to grow it in a lab, you have to get it to replicate. So they're not cancer cells, but they're pre-cancer cells.
Well, also go ahead and eat a cancer cell. You'll be fine. Eat a cancer cell. I don't care.
And what's interesting is that it ignores, like in the scientific exploration, ignores the life element. Like meat will not replicate itself because the tissue is dead, because it's no longer in a living host. We've killed that cow. We can now hack it up into the parts that we want to cook up. Science is trying to undo that. They're trying to make it so that life is going to be able to be repeatable, replenishable without the life or the birthing aspect, which is just like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Understand that we are an organic vessel. We are a body. We are built to run on certain types of fuel. Yeah. What the fuck are you doing? You're not changing how we actually are running. Let's say we're or what runs us. Let's say we
wait. Wait. What about
space,
this?
Right?
What about? Have you guys heard of Soylent? It's you know, these geeks decided they didn't want to eat anymore, so they made a shake that gives you everything that you need. What about that? That could be.
Yeah, I took.
Apparently,
I took
you can
a little
live
bit
off of it.
And they give you some fish oil to put in it so that you get some fatties. You need some fatties. I'm into it. I like that because half of the meals I eat, I just want to get through it. I just need to fucking eat. And so here's the bad thing about where we are now is that I feel like my diet is just addiction based. Oh, I need to have something I like. I need to have something I like. I crave this. I'm craving this. None of it is like, oh shit, man. Like you need this stuff. Like just put it in a shake. Like I, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
and so,
sure,
and so one idea
convenient.
Is we need to, they're talking about brain computer interfaces that can kind of change your mind so that you don't eat everything that you're addicted to.
Rather than help people to understand there's some simple shit that can fix that. People should know about food, know more about food and have that available.
Yes, education from an early age is a great idea. 100%.
Within the last 45 days, I've dropped like 27 pounds, right? All it is that I have a friend that Will and I work on a show with. She's a nutritionist. She's giving me some information. It isn't the stuff. I'm not eating super different, but I am not eating as much. When I used to make burritos or when I make gumbo or I make something that I love, it has that taste. It's fantastic. But without seeing the numbers, how much sodium, how many carbs, how many macros, all of that information, I'm just eating the way that I feel. Gumbo is great. It makes me feel good. It tastes delicious. It reminds me of different things from my childhood, et cetera, et cetera. But when I see that, fuck, I just had in a day 8,000 milligrams of salt, and that is related to, or of sodium, and maybe my doctor's not full of shit when he's saying, hey, you might have high blood pressure.
Right.
And I'm just saying, like, it's just that little bit of knowledge. I think that the knowledge is the thing, because I noticed one thing that happened is when I started tracking my food, just started being more aware of it and eating more nutrient-dense food, I'm not eating as much as I used to eat, because those cravings that we have, really, those cravings are like when I have an alcoholic beverage, that shit's all sugar. That triggers something in my body to crave something salty. It triggers this addictive dopamine response that feels good. It's because I love that drink because of how it tastes and how it made me feel.
Have you guys heard
any real nutritional value for me?
Have you guys heard of this other new thing that gets you drunk and it's not alcohol and it's actually better for you because it doesn't like create all the shit in your body? I forget what it's called, but I wanted to look into it. It's like you feel drunk, but it's not it's not sugar and it doesn't fuck with your blood. I'm like, oh my.
Yeah, it's called weed.
yeah, there's that too. You know, weed usually leads to a fourth meal.
But it's interesting though, because you think about something. I mean, it's funny, but weed creates the cravings. But weed is grown from the earth, though, or hydroponically.
Also, listen, it's up to you what you eat when you're stoned, and you're gonna love it. So eat something good, like.
What?
You just want the crunch. Like, it's not even flavor. Dude.
Like dehydrated apple crisps. Mm.
Oh man. Oh,
dude, trail mix. Trail mix is amazing.
So give me your ultimate new high food. Like something that you'll eat when you're high. If you had to give a recipe, I'll give you an example. Peanut butter and jelly. If I made my own peanut butter, I took blackberries. And I mashed them up, I muddled them up, and I whisked them, and I fucking put those in with some peanut butter that I had made, my own peanut butter. When I put the two together, dude, that was the best fucking peanut butter and jelly. It was actually the sugar, and it was actually the fat that helped the body to digest the sugar in the peanut butter that I made myself. And it tasted way better than any fucking store-bought shit without all of that extra shit that they put into it. All it is peanuts. Processed peanuts that I process and fucking berries. So explain to me again, Smucker's. Why do I need to buy your shit again, Smucker's?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like, and the price keeps going up for a small ass jar. I'm like, ugh.
And what the fuck are you putting in this? I don't need all those preservatives. I don't need all that shit, but the same taste. So what's your swappable high snack thing? Like, how would you construct an Oreo naturally?
I guess, flavor of yeah, because that's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of, like, ice cream and stuff like that. And you can make your own ice cream.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
I'll just eat carrots, man. If I'm stoned enough, carrots are fine.
Fuck yeah, dude. Carrots are fucking bomb. That crunch. Yeah, when you think about, like, a carrot with a crunch,
that's what it's all about. I throw a
little bit of tahini on top.
And then you chew them for a long time. It's very gratifying.
Celery with peanut butter, like mix all those together.
Mm. I don't like celery. Yeah. I never like celery. There's a flavor. I don't like it. I also don't like the stringiness of it. It gets in your teeth.
Jeez, wait.
I'm anti-celery, man. Get Anton Log out of schools.
What happened to you, bro?
I just hate it. It just tastes bad.
Speaking of getting high... They're talking about space farming being in the future. I'm like, oh, I actually dig this thing because there's a few things that they've taken into a space that they say grow better in space because instead of just growing against gravity, it like grows in all directions. So like in the right environment, like it can grow better. I know it's not really practical right now, especially like using rocket fuel to get it up there or, you know, you have to get to see. But I like the idea of dropping down bags of food from space.
imagine the planet, right, with this intricate set of vine work all around it, and you have your fucking fruit. Everything's growing out there, out in space, and that's what the actual rockets are used for, is to go up to harvest for us, brother.
Yeah, you've got migrant space workers.
Do we really need rockets? Do we really need rockets? Because I believe that we all had these original rockets that were water inside, and then you got to pump them up, and then you put enough pressure on, and that fucker will go up like a half a mile.
Yeah, I almost bought one this week. It would cost too much, but I'm like, I had one of these when I was growing up. I need one for Moose.
I love that thing. And then one time it went off and hit me right in the eye.
Dude, yeah, buddy. Boy. Yeah, buddy. But so we could do that because now we're not trying to just go out into space and then go to the moon and go see all these other planets. And what the fuck is, I don't want to say, like, what the fuck is the point of that? There's no fucking food out there.
I don't want to go into space.
Yeah, it is a parade that I don't want to watch. You know, I don't care if we go back to the moon. And I love the moon.
Just grow vines around the planet or at least half of the planet.
It'd be like a Dyson, you know, that, the Dyson sphere, only it would be tomatoes.
It has to come from the middle class. If it's the upper class, it's just going to be wine.
Oh, those fucking pieces.
Space wine.
Space wine.
I mean, I want space wine, too.
And then all the guys, but all the workers that would have to go up there and fuck with that, knowing that it's for the elitists, they're just going to piss in the fucking vine, yeah. in the water supply. But I mean, think about it. So we have this intricate vine set up all over the planet. Now we have something that shields us from the sun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we've created a more stable environment. We're actually helping the planet. None of this is fucking scientific. I don't fucking know.
Could maybe collect some of that oxygen and send it down too somehow. I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what our brilliant scientific minds should be trying to figure out, instead of fucking growing artificial meat. 3D printed meat. How many years of us eating this shit that doesn't taste like actual food? Remember that imprint on those chickens? 15 generations from now, Willie, these kids will think that 3D printed meat is what a burger tastes like. They won't even know what that grill smells like.
It's like the three different shapes of the McDonald's McNugget. It's like, oh, that's the wing. That's the...
Oh, yeah.
I know one is a boot. Crazy.
And then you have the
dinosaur. The boot of the chicken.
They're all cowboys. Ultimately, we didn't get into too much fun stuff, but I definitely see a future closer to the Matrix soup oats with like flavor tricks put into it, you know.
Why do you think that is? Because of its feasibility or because of a lack of other resources?
I feel like before we really grow into what the future of food should be for us, we're going to have this phase of like, take what we have and just try to make something healthy at some point. You know, like I do picture this being the food during some sort of apocalyptic state. I feel like we're going to crash hard, yeah. and the crash might yeah. come from food because,
yeah.
you know, we're definitely on our way to food shortages around the world. And I don't know. I agree with you. Algae and seaweed and mushrooms and getting into that stuff. But the big corporations aren't trying to make money off of that healthy stuff.
No, they're not. There's not enough money to be made. And it's so ironic, in my opinion, that it is easy to grow your own. It's not fucking hard. It just takes time. It takes attention. You got to stop what you're doing. You got to be there. You got to water them in the right timing. And you have to not want to have access to everything. Why do we need to have access to everything?
If you want to make some money,
a couple of things.
Right now, you could, sure, there's all these different nutrition things, but like teaching people how to grow an apartment farm.
Sure. Like our systems are very vulnerable. A drought can kill us all.
Basically, we've droughted ourselves by taking the water without really letting it replenish itself. They act like it's all climate change. I'm like, no, we've resourced this water out to all these big farms, and we droughted ourselves.
We have changed the evaporative process because we have taken the water that was here and we have channeled it along the way that we wanted to. We've moved it to spaces and used it to create stuff that is no longer able to evaporate. You know, what is it? How many gallons of water does it take to grow almonds?
And we didn't get into this either, but definitely like insects, there's plenty of insects, plenty of protein there. Like that'll come before a happier time.
Yeah, but I believe we will have to crash, that we are headed for a crash. I believe that we really and truly are headed for a crash. And I think that we have seen these droughts before, these food deserts. They have always been there. They have been happening. It's just now there's more visibility as people are trying to have more healthy lifestyles.
That's kind of what I was wondering.
Go to any old mining town, go to any place that's been gentrified, and you will find that prior to gentrification, they became food deserts. Like even like White Flight in South Central LA, where I grew up, when the Goodyear plant left, businesses packed up and left with them as well.
Yeah.
And there weren't Starbucks, there weren't Whole Foods, there weren't all of those big brand names until they started gentrifying the neighborhoods. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but there's a place called Sloss and Swap Meet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of where I grew up around. I grew up not too far from the Sloss and Swap Meet. And there weren't, I remember when there weren't not only just food or restaurants, food resources or restaurants, but like even a hardware store. Home Depot wasn't in the neighborhood. Now there's a Home Depot across the street from the Sloss and Swap Meet. It's like, oh, really? So for the last 50, 60 years, it wasn't a thing. But now that the community is being gentrified, driving up the property values, kicking the locals out, now you can, now it makes sense for you to put one in here. Oh, okay. But I said that to say this, is that I was in Gary, Indiana, and it was a food desert. And I have I met a guy who had bought up like 12 houses on his block, and he'd bought up this restaurant down the street for $5,000. He was buying houses. Amazon was going to be building a facility out there. That's where his push was. But it was a huge food desert with like one grocery store. I'm like, fuck, man, how does this happen? Where like, there were high schools and junior high schools and the auto shop and the barber shops, and they're all gone now. And now you mean to tell me that the remaining people don't have resources for food? They can just pull up and go when it's no longer profitable for them? That's pretty fucked up, because now you've done what a dope dealer has done. You got addicted to it.
And you've missed generations of learning how to grow food. So now, like, sure, you can start with the internet and you grow yourself, but like, somebody's got to start and nobody's starting. And so,
yeah, because they don't even know how. That is how clever they are in their tactics, is they come in, remove history so that you don't have to, you don't remember how to do it on your own. So now you are addicted to them. Now, that's how, like, you are reliant on them.
Gerber is going around to different countries and giving new moms like 2 weeks worth of baby food, formula. And in those 2 weeks, they stop producing milk.
Yeah. Why the fuck would you do that? You are taking the place of the mom nourishing the baby. That connective tissue from mother to child is now going to be altered. Forever. Yeah,
we fed moose for too long, but it's free nutrition.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. So what happens once you guys, or the next you guys, 30 years from now, have been dealing with this 3D printed meat, have been dealing with plastics that we're eating, because now microplastics are the big topic now, right? Microplastics are in everything.
Yeah, you shouldn't even eat any fishing. So why
the fuck are you telling me, like, I'm the motherfucker producing microplastics? The fuck are you advertising this shit to me for? Why don't you tell these fucking pieces of shit that are using this, that are selling this shit, and sanction against them?
Yeah. And so like, how about like that? The our system is set up for them to continue to
gaslight,
succeed at our expense.
And all they do is fucking gaslight the people. They have you feeling like you and the neighbors in your community cannot just band together and say, hey, I'm going to have chickens. My place is going to smell like chicken shit, but we're going to have people come help out. You guys grow the vegetables. You guys grow the fruits. Cool. We're going to support our own neighborhood.
That's like, if you feel guilty taking a long shower, wash that guilt away out of your mind with a long shower, because corporations waste so much more water than you ever will. Take a long shower.
Oh my God. We are not the reason why global warming is happening. We're not. And when I say we, I mean the people. We are not misusing natural resources. They are misusing natural resources because they feel like they are selling us something that we are benefiting from. Well, you guys are benefiting from it. Well, since we're benefiting from it, how about this? I don't want to see another fucking plastic container of juice. I want you to put juice machines in every fucking store all over the nation. So you just have a big fucking vat of juice driving the fuck around and filling up these things. I don't want you to produce any more fucking plastics. I don't want you to produce any more of these other things that are the problem. You guys, and
plastic
are the fucking
problem. Is still the oil industry. It's the same company forever.
That's it. It ain't a big deal. but you motherfuckers putting that shit in cheese and shit too. So hey, the jig is up. But I don't. But because it's greed oriented, we have to wait for it to crash. And what I think is the revolution. So imagine Mad Max, except for fuel and water. It's food and water. It's not fuel, but you know, people are going to have to know how to farm. The ones that want it, that will survive, will know how to grow crops, will know how to do things that can further us as a species. And the ones that don't, the ones that are lost, if we're at Burning Man, we call them sparkle ponies. Those are the ones that go to Burning Man. Those are the ones that show up and are like, oh my God, the universe is going to provide. It's all love, love. No, bitch. No, stupid ass. No, dumb motherfucker. This is the harshest environment you can be in. Be prepared when you fucking get here. Don't come here waiting on the world to fucking feed you. They're busy feeding their own fucking kids. And I ain't feeding your sorry ass. Sit down, learn how to farm, because you are going to need it. That's how we've always survived, you dickheads. We just allowed them to co-opt it from us. They have not always been around. It used to be that if you were going to be wealthy, super wealthy, you needed railroad money, you needed oil money. Now you have food money, and I would say even beverage money, but they're, you know, food and beverage, they're in the same
industry, you know, basically.
Yeah, but it's different. Remember, it used to be that you had oil money, railroad money, you know, you had farmers were never super rich, but they also always ate well. I think we need to repurpose how farmers, like, let's go to smaller farms and let them start to decide how we grow stuff, because they're actually the hands on the ground, the boots on the ground. They actually know what the soil is doing. They actually understand the difference between mass farming and what they are doing, what they started out doing, and how it's impacted. They can look at their pasture and be like, oh yeah, we let them come in and they fucked up our shit and they can no longer grow food anymore. What happens when we do that all over every surface of the planet? Where are we going to get more fucking dirt from, you dickheads? Where are we going to get more fucking dirt from? We're going to get fucking space dirt? Is that what we're going to get?
I know. Even space farming is like, well, you can't just grow it in water.
What happens when you run out of water? Or one of the parts that actually makes up water, the H, the 2, or the O.
We definitely need desalination now. But let's get out of here. We can keep talking about food in the bonus episode, but let's get out of the main one. Send us your thoughts on the future of food, right? Comment on this. Tell us what you think. I know we harp too hard on corporations, but it's a big problem. And they're ruling the food right now, and they're ruling the FDA and everything in America. And so maybe instead of us failing, we need to get invaded.
You know what I think we need to do? We need to tell them, how dare you do that to us?
That'll do it. All right, Hilton, thank you for being here. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Remember, go to patreon.com/ Real Life Sci-Fi. Do you want to shout out any plugs or anything before we go?
Just, hey, I'm going to be doing a healthy podcast and a healthy life app and a healthy life, how to make your life the best that it can be. And let's start internally. I want my life to have meaning. And I think that I may have figured out a vehicle for making this help other people. So I don't know. Maybe the next time when I come back, I'll have something more for you guys. I don't know.
Yeah, great.
I want to plug this. Health and wellness and positivity and be a good person and do something for other people every day. That's all.
Just drugs, or just do a lot of drugs. Just
and
just
if the drugs out, make man. You happy, that's actually working for other people too.
Thanks this for listening. Remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Bye.